welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction hunt entertainment industry. Didn't repeat the same joke.
No.
Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we have returned once again.
Mm-hmm.
Now to do episode 187, which, by the way, I find is a very special episode in its own way.
No. Oh.
Because I just found out the Big Scary Show also just hit 187.
Oh, cool.
Which means absolutely not a goddamn thing.
That we've both been doing this a long time.
Both been doing this a long time, and we have a format that lets us crank out episodes much more quickly, because it's just two idiots in a room together. Turns out to be very efficient. But yes, we are indeed Haunt Weekly. Find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, anywhere finer podcasts are distributed. Also, check out Big Scary Show while you're there if you don't already. I don't know why you wouldn't if you're listening to this. Absolutely, we're all about giving love to our fellow haunting podcasters.
Yes.
Well, we have a very interesting episode for you this week. I'm actually really excited about this one because we're taking what we did last week, where we did our lessons that we wish we had known when we started haunting, and we're flipping it on our head and talking about simple things that major haunts forget. We're looking at it from the customer's perspective.
Exactly.
And because we like being both haunters and haunt customers, so we get to like look at the bilateral, bicameral, I don't know.
Different perspectives.
Different perspective. But first thing is, first we have to do our comments and reminders. Crystal, will you kick us off?
Okay, July 27th, it's Haunter Horde Gathering in Mount Carroll, Illinois at the Mount Carroll Bowling Center. It will be touring Raven's Grin Inn for an additional $15. It has auction for Scares That Care and Don't Be a Monster. Free pizza. You have to pay for your drinks. It's $5 for the general admission. HaunterHorde.com to find out more or if any of that was unclear.
Yeah, honestly, if you're in the area and you're not going to this, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're crazy. All right, after that, it's the New England Haunt Show in Stratford, Connecticut. It'll be taking place at the Fright Haven Haunted House on July 27th. Features a tour of Fright Haven, which just makes sense because you're in the building, as well as other area haunts, TBA. Also, several classes taking place. Neat little one-day conference. Tickets are $20. This is going live on the 1st. It's $25 now. You missed the chance to get the $20 ticket. But hey, it's only $5 more. I say it's worth it.
Yeah.
You can learn more at the NewEnglandHauntShow.com. Still a hell of a deal.
Exactly. Okay, July 27th through the 28th, it's Texas Haunters Convention in Mesquite, Texas at the Mesquite Convention Center. Coincidentally enough.
Yes.
It features celebrity guests, a meet and greet, and a ball, costume ball, touring Dark Hour Haunted House for their Dog Days of Summer show, and a backstage tour, TexasHauntersConvention.com.
And if you're interested in going, definitely check out the website and look at the scheduling. They are actually visiting Dark Hour twice, if I understood this correctly. Pick the day you want to go because there are other afterward events that you may be interested in. So plan your schedule accordingly.
Yes.
After that, August 3rd through the 4th in Long Beach, California, it's Midsummer Scream Eek at the Long Beach Convention Center. It'll feature dozens of on-site haunted attractions and experiences as part of the Hall of Shadows Dark Zone. There'll also be a Screaming Room Film Festival, a fashion show, and live theatrical performances. MidsummerScream.org.
Okay, August 6th through the 8th,
we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm just still really tired.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Room Escape Conference and Tour in Nashville, Tennessee at the Music City Center. Tours include, and the tours are weird, so go again to the
website and plan your schedule.
Yeah.
You're only going to get to go to half of these yourself.
Yes, but the full list is Extreme Escape Games, San Antonio Panic Room, Premier Escape Rooms, Extreme Escape, Perplexium, The Escape Game, Lockout Austin, and 15 Locks. RoomEscapeShow.com to plan your trip.
Yes, indeed. My advice, go with a buddy and split up.
Yes.
That'd be my personal pick. I think you and I would split up for the evenings. And then talk about the idiots we had in our various escape rooms.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, we would talk about it, but, you know, haunters aren't idiots in escape rooms.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I think when we did an escape room with haunters at what is now Texas Haunters Fest, it was a Halloween and Haunt Fest previously. Mm-hmm. The big problem we had was we were assholes and elbows in that room. It was a tight fit getting 12 of us in that one room.
Yeah, I wound up just playing with a zombie.
Yeah, you had fun with that. All right, after that, September 6th to the 8th, it's Mask Fest / Horror Hound Film Festival in Indianapolis, Illinois, at the Indiana Convention Center. Features mask makers and makeup artists of all types, some great tutorials, and other things going on. If you're interested in getting your makeup and mask skills elevated a little bit, maskfest.com for more.
You skipped one.
I did? Oh, I did.
Yes.
Oh, you do that one and I'll wrap up. I apologize.
Okay.
We're in our native environment. I must have scrolled down. I'm sorry.
It's okay. August 23rd through the 25th, it's CreepyCon Halloween and Horror Convention in Knoxville, Tennessee at Jacobs Building. It features workshops, exhibitors, and a zombie beauty contest. CreepyConKnoxville.com for more info.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that I just got the keyboard in this MacBook replaced.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, all the keys work right now. So
you don't have to slam on them?
Yeah, you don't have to slam on them, so everything's a little slippery. I'm not beating on it like a snare drum. All right. And wrapping it up this week, it's the Scare Fest in Lexington, Kentucky, September 12th through the 5th, in the Lexington Center, featuring Bruce Campbell, Lori Petty, Kane Hooper, Ted Raimi, and more. TheScareFest.com. All right, so that brings us to today's topic. Now, first off, sorry we're late if we're late-ish again. We're going to try to get this out roughly on time. I think we're going to be able to.
Yeah.
But you had a very successful headdress show Sunday.
I did. It was awesome.
Ran into the evening, and by the time it was done, we were exhausted. So we lost our usual recording day. But it went super duper well.
Yeah, it did.
Lots of things sold. Check out Nola Headdress on Instagram, Twitter, and also on Etsy to see what she's making and doing in that area.
Thank you.
It felt like an appropriate time to give a plug since you're literally our excuse for being late and for being tired.
Well, and to be fair, it was a Summerween
show. Yeah, it was a Summerween show.
It was Halloween themed. It was a lot of fun to make stuff for it.
Yeah, so you had a great time. It was exhausting. We lost our recording day. Happens. So we're recording on the day of, and we should be able to get it up relatively on time, but still, apologies for both the exhausted sounding nature of the two of us, and also, like I said, the slight tardiness.
Yeah, we should be back on schedule next week.
Yeah, I'm really hoping. Because next weekend's 4th of July. Oddly enough, we have holiday, and we don't have anything planned.
Right.
You know, we're doing it kind of back-asswards. You know that, right? We playing all this crazy shit, concerts and stuff on normal weekends, but the four-day weekend comes up and it's like, we'll wing it.
We'll wing it because there's going to be too many damn people around.
Yeah, that's true. We don't like you damn people. We like you damn people. The fine people that follow Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. We like you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving right along, though, I gotta say, last week's show was an unexpected huge success, judging from the feedback we got.
Yeah.
Some great comments on Facebook, Haunt Weekly there. got some great feedback, got some great comments, and all in all, it seems like everyone really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like wow, that was really, I'm really glad it went over that well. So yeah, basically we liked that idea. We wanted to do, got such great feedback, we wanted to do something similar, but from the customer side of things. Things that we've noticed that even big, well-staffed, well-planned, well-executed haunts forget.
Don't always get right.
Yeah, and it's amazing how often all of these things, in fact, when we were coming up with this list, we could have kept going because we kept coming up with other things. So we decided we actually consolidated two into one so we can make it the catchy seven. You got to get the seven. It's the clickbait. You got to get the clickbait title, the seven. Yeah, this question, are we stretching the seven or are we compressing the seven? We're definitely compressing this week.
Yeah, but if you wanted to make it 10, you could send us your three ideas yes. that you would add to it yeah. at Haunt Weekly.
Once again, great comments. We love the comments. Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook and hauntweekly.com. Yeah, let us know your additions if you want to get this to 10 or 11 or 9 or whatever other clickbait numbers there are.
All the numbers.
They're all the numbers that are clickbait, apparently. But anyways... But yeah, like I said, some great responses on Facebook, especially about the tools.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting commentary there about them. Mm-hmm. We talked about in the last one how you don't cheap out on your tools.
Right.
And how we made some tremendous mistakes there.
Yeah.
So yeah, some really great feedback there. Basically, y'all love your tools is what I learned. Even more than I realized. I knew you loved your tools, but there's a lot of love for your tools. You're not saying anything. I get it.
Nope.
But to that end, so yeah, we wanted to talk about simple things that haunts oftentimes get wrong or they forget to have at their haunt. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to limit this to things that are physically at the haunt. We have harped on and talked about you need your website, you need this, you need that, you need your social media, none of that crap. Yeah. This is on-site stuff only.
Yeah.
Stuff that haunts forget to include on their site and they really, really should.
Yes.
All right. Good simple rules.
Yes.
Let's dive right in. Item one, bathrooms and trash cans.
Yes.
I don't know how much, I mean, we really could just leave it there.
No, we could.
Could and move on, but then it'd be a very short podcast, and you'd either be very happy or very cross with us if that were the case.
Well, or we would just start rambling about all of the things and stretch it out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But no, here's the thing. About this. We do not have bathrooms at our haunt, our home haunt.
Correct.
And that's because we have to actively discourage people from hanging around.
Yeah.
It was an active, deliberate decision. We've actually priced porta potties. We have considered it, mm-hmm. looked into it, and it's actually reasonable and something we can do, but we've made the active decision not to do it because we're not a business. We're not trying to encourage people to hang around, and we're not trying to get people from too far afield. Most people who come to our haunt, I'd say 90%+, drive less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so you drive 10 minutes, you're there for 20, max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not going to need a porta potty, hopefully.
Yeah, and other than candy on Halloween night, we don't offer snacks or drinks or anything either.
Yeah. And so the end result of that is... There really isn't a need, and we know that if we added them, we would be encouraging people to hang around, which creates a problem, because on Halloween night in particular, when we're putting in the big numbers, we need to keep people coming and going. There, and that includes on the street, on the parking. We have to free up those spaces and free up that momentum.
Right.
So that creates a problem. But if you're running a professional haunt, totally different story here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's only one time that a customer is asked and pleaded to be let into the house to go to the bathroom.
And we did let them, for the record.
Yeah.
We're not monsters.
No.
If it's that bad, we do have a bathroom on site. Of course, it's a house.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't. The woods like real men here. Go in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we don't. We're not monsters. We don't do that.
No.
No, so yeah, if a customer does beg and plead, we do have staff, they can go use the house, it's fine, we'll make it work, but we try to discourage that behavior as much as we can.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're a pro haunt, it's a different story. Your visitors are going to come from much further afield. Mm-hmm. The average travel distance to your haunt is going to vary depending upon where you are, but in many places it's at least 30 minutes to an hour.
Right.
And they are hopefully going to stay longer. Hopefully you have a bigger haunt.
Hopefully.
Where they're going to go through. Hopefully your haunt is not a 2-3 minute affair like ours. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have a 10, 15, 20, 30 minute haunt or whatever. And hopefully you have other things going on there. Shh, spoiler for later in the episode. that people are going to stay for a while. And basically, if the total trip time exceeds, you know, like say an hour,
mm-hmm.
then you need to be thinking bathrooms.
Right.
You need to have accessible bathrooms and trash cans. Now, I actually did a little research on this, and this was interesting. Definitely, look at your local building codes for this and local event codes. They'll have guidelines on how many bathrooms you should have locally. Some general requirements you can examine is that OSHA requires One toilet for every 40 to 50 people, depending on the size. Now, it's kind of weird because it escalates. Like, you need, like, one toilet for the first 20, two for, 40, and it escalates. Mm-hmm. But even after you hit, 200 or so, I think it's 200 employees. Now, this is looking at people that are going to be there all day and will definitely need to use the restroom at some point over the course of their day.
Yeah.
Working an 8-hour day, you're probably using the bathroom on site, unless you're a camel. if you're employing camels, what business are you in, really? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
What business employs camels? But regardless, and I'm only assuming that camels don't pee that much. I actually don't know. They might pee all the time.
I'm not going to Google that one to fact check.
No, I'm not either. We're not fact checking. You fact check that one on your time, and you question your use of your resources in doing so. But anyways, for a similar another standard is for a 3-hour event, which this does more closely simulate what a haunt would be like normally mm-hmm. during a night of operation. You're supposed to have 3 toilets for 200 people, though 6 to 8 is recommended.
Right.
Now, more important than having the correct number of toilets, obviously better to have too many than too few, but is that they are accessible. And here's the thing, they have to be accessible by anyone from anywhere.
Yeah.
Are the toilets handicap accessible?
Mm-hmm.
Bad stuff. Now, they do make handicap accessible porta potties.
They do.
That is a thing.
Yes.
You can obtain those. And if you do, if you're ADA compliant, which you should be, then you need to have those, at least one of those.
Right.
I think it said 5% of all toilets need to be handicap accessible in most situations.
Yeah.
That was one standard I heard. I don't know. That was from the ADA. You probably want more, though, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Are the toilets accessible from the queue line? One haunt we went to in Mississippi, there was a very long queue line. We were in there for about 90 minutes or more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they had ample toilets, but you could not get to them from the queue line.
No.
Not trivially.
No, because they were hard. There were hard barrier queue lines.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just get in and out anywhere, and you'd have to go back through all the people behind you.
Yeah. And then you have to be that asshole that both cuts going backwards and cuts going forward. You got to be that person.
Yeah.
Then this is a tricky one. I mean, House of Shock had the same problem.
Yeah.
Had tons of porta potties.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in them from the queue line.
Mm-mm.
And that queue line, you could be stuck there for 30 minutes, an hour, easy.
Yeah.
And weirdly, it was even more difficult if you were in the VIP area. VIP. I'm 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're tired and you ain't got time for my crap. I get it. But yeah, long story short, is it accessible? Is it something that people can trivially get to from the queue line or anywhere else that they might be? Yeah, I'm not expecting haunt customers, like going through the haunt, to be able to access them.
Right.
But what about when they exit?
Yeah.
Is there one on the exit side they
right.
can go to?
Really easy to get to, yeah.
How many times have we had that problem where, okay, yeah, we're done with the haunt. Now we do need to pee because
we've got to hold it a little while.
Because now we're faced with a trip home.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been plenty of times we've left haunts, been unable to access a bathroom, and had to pull into the very first gas station we could find.
Yeah.
So, yeah, accessible toilets from every point in the haunt that your customers will be spending time.
Yeah, and this is a weird thing to talk about, but I'm going to put it out there.
Okay, go for it.
Just in case anybody else has this issue. So lots of times haunts will buy or rent the porta potties that are unisex.
Yeah.
And I'm usually for unisex bathrooms.
Yes.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have long hair and you're a girl and you're squatting for a porta potty, you have to make sure that your hair does not go into the part for the boys that's on the side. And it's a small, confined area.
I had never thought of that problem.
But when you lean forward, if your hair swings the wrong way...
I have not thought of that.
You're
going to
wind up in the urinal, and it's not fun.
It'd be a hair-inal cake.
Oh, God.
Good night, everybody. This podcast is ending early this week. I'm about to get murdered. But yeah, that's something else to think about. It's a good point.
Yeah, because I do know that they do make ones just for girls that don't have the urinal.
And that
just
would be
one
why.
Or two of those. Yeah, that is why.
Well, and also there are other
if
reasons
you've ever wondered
other than
why.
Just, you know, expelling waste that you need a restroom, especially if you are a girl.
Yeah.
And so those considerations come into play too, especially if you are there for a lengthy period of time, you might need to change, you know, if you're on your period, you might need to change your tampon or whatever.
Yeah.
So you got to think about those issues too. And this is the thing. It might sound trivial. It might seem like we're making a mountain out of a molehill. But believe me, if all I can remember about your haunt is how bad I had to pee the whole time I was there, it's going to hurt my view on your haunt experience.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer that if you do not have adequate bathrooms, you do not earn your code yellows.
Nope.
That is cheating.
That is.
There have been times I nearly peed in a haunt, not because I was scared, but because I really needed to pee, goddammit. That's not a code yellow. That is, you guys did not have adequate potties.
Yes. Speaking of code yellow, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast, yes.
For actors.
Yes. So yeah, think about that. If you have too few porta potties, you're cheating on your code yellows.
Yep.
Don't cheat on your code yellows. Likewise with trash cans, it's more about linear feet. Now, I tried to get a good guideline on how you should space your trash cans.
Yeah.
We just do it ridiculously close.
It's just because if there's not... Well, and the city does this too. I mean, the city encourages trash cans everywhere.
Yeah.
So people are used to having a place just to throw their stuff. And if they don't have a place to throw their stuff, they throw it on the ground.
Yeah, people are assholes.
Exactly.
Never underestimate the power of assholery.
Right.
Disney puts them every 25 paces, which, okay, a pace is a ridiculous unit of measurement.
It is.
But it's somewhere between 60 and about 75 feet, depending upon your walking breadth. San Francisco requires them every 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very serious trash issue.
Yeah.
With our haunt in the early years. It was so bad that we spent much of Halloween night after we closed and much sometimes going into November 1st sweeping.
Yeah.
It was not fun. We just said, okay, we're going to throw so many trash cans at this problem.
Exactly.
That you cannot ignore. We have three trash cans that we have for household use. Those all go out. Plus, we bring in additional temporary trash cans, paper trash cans. You can buy these on Amazon. They're very cheap.
Yeah.
That we put into the queue line. We put on the exit line. We put everywhere.
Yeah.
We sprinkle these like crack all over the customer's
Yeah, they're paper, and we just staple them to the walls in the queue line now.
Yep. And basically, on November 1st, you just tear them down and throw them out.
Yep.
That easy. They're meant to be, the entire can is disposable.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that if you wanted to, you could zip tie them.
Yeah.
There's
a million ways to attach them.
Yeah, but to your poles in the queue line if you have the cattle gate system.
Oh, absolutely. If you have a traditional cattle gate or a guardrail system, you can do that. This is a solvable problem. Mm-hmm. Just seriously.
Get some cardboard boxes and throw out there.
I think we literally, in a span that's less than 100 feet, we probably have six trash cans. No, we have probably closer to 8 or 9.
Yeah, we have two for each section of the queue line.
Yeah, two. There are one on the exit side. The three main ones in the run-up. Plus, I think we have one.
So about 10?
Yeah, well, I think we have 10 or 11. Yeah,
that doesn't even count the ones inside the haunt for the actors.
No, that's just the customer ones, customer-facing ones. Yeah, we go crazy with it. It eliminated the trash problem.
Yeah, because we don't want to get woken up early in the morning.
Oh, frack me.
By our neighbors on a Sunday.
Complaining about trash in the yard.
And it's like three pieces in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Anyway. Number two.
Seriously, though, make sure you have adequate toilets and trash cans. There you go. Number two. Go for it.
No, I'm just saying, we're just now getting to
number two. Yeah, we're only like 25 fucking minutes into the episode. Good job, team. Yeah. Okay, number two, signage. Adequate signage. If you think you have enough signs, you don't.
Nope.
Never underestimate the power of human stupidity.
No.
Seriously. Basically, the way I look at it, it's kind of like firewood.
Mm.
And trash cans, you can kind of use this rule too.
Mm-hmm.
Take the number of trash cans you think is enough and take the number of signs you think is enough, double it.
Yeah.
Just do it again. That's probably close to the actual amount you need.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's, I think I've seen, and this illustrates the point. There was one haunt we went to in rural Louisiana last year, and they had signs all the way there. Mm-hmm. We were like, wow, this is the best signage we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because our GPS wasn't working because it's in the middle of nowhere. And they had little signs pointing the way, and they all looked similar. They were all the same. Mm-hmm. And we were able to find it.
Yes.
We found it fine.
And we even used it to find the way back out.
Now, well, that's just it. On the way back out, we had to find where the signs were
and
from the back
way.
Side of the sign.
Yeah.
Because the back side did not have the way to go to
Thank
get
you for
away
coming
from it.
And then
exactly.
Naff off this way.
Exactly.
That would have been nice.
Because that would have been double the signs.
Yeah, that would have been double the signs. Yeah, they did not think about... They thought well about getting us there, but not about getting us home.
Yes.
So to speak.
Exactly.
And so, but yeah, and also they had an issue where when you arrived, they didn't have signs for parking and they didn't have signs for where to go buy your tickets.
Right.
They didn't have on-site signs. They had great signs for transporting you there.
Yeah.
That was about it. But yeah, I mean, take the number of signs you think you need and double it. Now, the best advice I can give you here is find someone who's never been to your haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then either kidnap them or convince them to drive out to your haunt and check your signage. Both to see if they can find the place,
mm-hmm.
if they can get to the parking lot, basically.
Yeah.
And then from the parking lot to the ticket booth. And then from the ticket booth to the front door of the attraction or wherever else they might want to go from there.
Yeah.
If they want to do, like, I don't know, your games or whatever, your merch booth or whatever, make sure the signs point clearly that. And then, and this is the one a lot of haunts forget, exit sign to parking lot.
Yeah.
I cannot count the number of times we've exited a haunt and literally looked around and go, how the fuck did we get to our car?
Yeah.
Where the fuck are we parked compared to this?
Yeah.
We have just been through a 10, 15, 20, 30 minute, whatever haunt. We don't know where we are. We're in the woods. We're on the opposite side of a building. We're,
yes, we're not somewhere where we normally are.
We're in a random place and we have no idea where the car is. And if there's not a large crowd that night, we don't have anyone else to follow.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, team.
Or if you're doing your spacing right, we don't have anyone else to follow.
We don't
either.
Have anyone else to follow. So we're just alone, the two of us alone, random place 696, unclear of how to get back to the car. Yeah, seriously, make sure that people have clear signage from all those points.
Yeah.
And make sure the signs are well lit. Don't put your signs up in the daytime and go, well, that's clear.
Yep.
And naff off.
Yeah.
Dude, check it at night.
Yeah. Well, and there's lots of places now that sell the little light up signs,
mm-hmm.
which are like marquee signs, which we might be investing in. Those are not bad ideas.
No, they're not. They actually work very well. They're great for like indicating exits and entrances. They're great for indicating which direction you
now,
go.
Now, major haunts should have like professionally done, but small haunts could get away with those.
But there are ways you can do this cheaper than having professionally made lighted signs.
Yeah.
Obviously. Just make sure that it can be seen. And it's way, way better to have too many signs than too few.
Yes.
And here's the thing. You can make these part of your aesthetic. You do them in creepy designs. You give them the same typography as the rest of your haunt.
Yes, but make sure that typography is readable.
Oh, yes.
No blood drips.
Yeah, God. And a special note here, handicap and VIP signage is doubly important here.
Yes.
If someone has VIP tickets, make sure they know where to go in addition to your general admission people.
Yes, and if that line is different, make sure that it is marked clearly, that you don't need to stand in the regular line.
Looking at you, mortuary, looking at you.
I think they fixed it since.
They did,
but
actually.
But there was that one year.
That one year, we stood around like assholes in the regular line when we had VIP tickets. Elliot donated blood. She literally gave her blood so we could have VIP tickets.
Yeah.
And then we stood around like assholes in the regular line anyway.
Yep.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And also handicap signage. If people with disabilities have to have a special entrance or a special way, make sure they know where to go and make sure it's clear.
Yeah, or if there's anything that they won't be able to do.
Yeah.
Make sure that that's clear also.
Exactly. Signage. God. I'm amazed how many big name haunts mess that up.
Yeah.
Okay, number three. other things to do. Mm-hmm. All right. I drove 30 minutes to go see your haunt. I spent...
Or more.
Or more. I spent 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, whatever amount for the tickets. Mm-hmm. I just left your haunt. What's next?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Do I have a place to get food and drinks? Mm-hmm. What else can I do at your haunt? And by the way, hot tip with the food and drink, make sure there's a way to get that into the queue line, especially if you have a long queue line.
Yeah. Think about ballparks where the people walking around with concessions.
Yeah. House of Shock had shot girls that would peruse the line.
Yeah. That's the outside edge.
I think that was great, but it would have been nice if they sold water.
Yeah.
Because
they may have. We just
never asked, admittedly, because they were shot girls. But yeah, seriously, have ways of getting this into the haunt. Is there a gift shop or a merch booth of some stripe? Mm-hmm. What about smaller attractions? Do you offer a secondary attraction? Do you offer a VR attraction? Do you offer, some kind of rides or games or the mechanical bull that for some reason is at Rise every year and I've never seen anyone on it?
That's because they all fall off.
Oh, very, very effective mechanical bull. You're on it, bam! Right up. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it does kind of dampen the experience a little bit when I drive this distance to go to your haunt, spend this much time getting there, and there's only the haunt to do. And also, you're leaving money on the table.
Okay, you are leaving money on the table, but for a long time, our favorite haunt was a little fire department, and they didn't have anything else after.
That is true. They did sell food, though.
They did,
get
at
popcorn
the beginning.
And sodas, yeah. And which was a weird time to sell food.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, because the queue was never that long on the nights we went.
No.
I know it got longer later in season, but we can't go later in season because we have our own haunt to deal with.
Yeah.
I always thought that was a little weird. But then again, we also made the trip down there and went to a restaurant we knew. We combined it with other things.
Right, exactly.
And that's one thing you can do is you can partner with local restaurants, maybe have a pop-up on site even.
Yeah, there was a trail in Lafayette that had, if you brought your ticket from the haunt to the restaurant next door, which stayed open late
on the nights,
on
they,
the
were
nights
open.
They were open, you could get a discount on your meal.
That's fine too. If you can't do it yourself, find a nearby business that you can partner with.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point, an excellent opportunity there. It just makes the experience more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Because there have been several haunts I've been to. I mean, there was the one in Monroe we went to, where we drove all the way out there, like a 1.5 hour trip for us.
It was more than that, but
we got out there, spent 20 minutes going to the haunt.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And it was in a town that was shut down.
Yeah, the town was dead. Sidewalks. They rolled up the sidewalks at apparently 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
There was just nothing to do, so it's 2 hours there, go to haunt, 2 hours back.
Yeah.
It's like, I look back on that experience, 90% of what I remember is driving through two-lane country roads to get there.
Yeah.
And it's not really their fault, but it also makes it so that I'm not likely to go back. Because that's just a bad time investment. It's fine from a money investment, but it was a bad time investment. And like I said, you're leaving money on the table if you don't have something else there. And also, make sure that anything you do provide is accessible both before and after the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many times in which we've gone to a haunt, they had a merch booth, like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We want a t-shirt, we're going to come back, because I don't want to carry your t-shirt through the haunt.
No, I might drop it.
I might drop it. It might get snagged. It might get torn.
Yeah.
Things happen to t-shirts and haunts.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. So, I'm going to come by. I'm going to pick it up after I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get done, and the exit and the flow of everything just sends you to the exact wrong way to visit the gift shop.
Yeah.
Or even worse, there have been a couple haunts where the gift shop was inside the haunt, and you literally couldn't hit it after you were done.
Yeah.
Oh, that was maddening.
Yeah.
So make sure that all these items are accessible both before and after the haunt visit.
Agreed.
Number 4, we've harped on this before. We won't spend too much time on it. We don't have a lot of time now.
Thanks to the bathroom and trash cans. Apparently we should have just
apparently
done
we've
a whole
been holding it
on
in
that.
On that issue for a lot longer than I realized.
Yeah.
Apparently we felt more passionate about bathrooms and trash cans. This is the Bathroom and Trash Can Podcast. Host, no. Number four, clear rules. Mm-hmm. Every haunt has rules. We did a whole podcast about haunt rules.
Yes.
And it's amazing how every haunt has rules and how few haunts put them clearly. And specifically, don't put them in a place where people can read them before they buy a ticket.
Right.
This is one of the things that drives me crazy. With the rules, you're telling people, okay, these are the things you are bound to do while in the haunt.
Yes.
And most of the time, I get it. It's don't be an asshole.
Yeah. This is your contract for going to the haunt.
This is what you're legally obligated to do.
Yeah.
Well, what if one of those things on the rules is something that I can't do? A good example is Ellie cannot be away from her phone.
Right.
She legally cannot keep her job and be away from her phone.
Yeah, I don't know if it's legal, it's in her contract for her employment.
It's in her contract for her job. She has to be accessible 24/7.
Yep.
She cannot even, because if something goes totally tits up, you guys want your credit card transactions to process, right?
Yeah.
Just saying for a friend. You do want that. Think about that for a minute. There are people who literally cannot be without their phones.
Yeah.
Even for the 15 minutes they're inside a haunt.
Yeah.
If something goes down and they are not able to quickly respond, it could be a problem. We have had situations where we bought tickets and then found out later that they have a no cell phone policy.
Yeah.
Well, Ellie can't go to this haunt and she has a ticket that she cannot use.
Yeah.
You see where this is going sideways now.
Exactly.
You need to make sure the rules are clear before they buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. And then they also need to be available where people can actually really read them.
Yeah.
I mean, will read them. So my advice has always been put it somewhere near the ticket booth where you can read the rules before you buy the ticket. Mm-hmm. And then again in the queue line.
You know what would be interesting?
What?
Is if, like, at least for the online buyers... Mm-hmm. If you had these are the rules, please check that you've read them.
Yeah.
And then you can buy your ticket. Like, you can't buy your ticket until after you say you've read the rules.
Yeah. Or at least have the rules on the page where you sell the tickets.
Yeah, but, I mean, that would be the easiest way to make sure that people at least claim they read the rules.
Yeah.
With online buying.
Yeah, the biggest lie ever told was I have read the terms and service.
Exactly.
I get that. But at least that shifts the responsibility onto them.
Exactly.
And away from you.
Exactly.
Because basically, like I said, if you sell me a ticket that I can't use because you had a rule that is not a super common rule, don't punch the actors, you know. Okay, that one's okay because that's a life rule.
Yeah.
It's just called assault, you know?
But no cell phone, or you will have to crawl for part of this.
Yeah, there are mobility things,
yeah.
Or you can't go in with certain medical conditions that maybe ordinarily a haunt would be fine with, like epilepsy.
Yeah.
You know, just saying, photosensitive epilepsy, just saying, you might want to put those things clearly before they buy the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It heads off a lot of problems. Yeah, they still make me miff they drove out there and couldn't buy a ticket, but at least you don't have the money issue hanging over you.
Right.
You just have the time issue.
Yep.
Also, don't put the rule... I mean, okay, you can put the rules on your ticket if it makes you feel better.
How big's your ticket?
Hey, yeah, how big's your goddamn ticket? House of Shock used to do this years ago. They printed on the back of the tickets.
I know.
Which I always thought was... just weird, because I've already bought the fucking ticket.
Yeah.
It's too late. If I read the rules, I go, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm hosed.
Yeah.
No refunds.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to read, especially in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And also, people don't really look at their tickets.
No.
They put more effort in making sure the tickets are safe than read.
Mm-hmm.
Because, duh.
I wonder if whenever you're in the rule room at Rise,
yeah,
if you see a rule on there that you can't do or you don't agree with, how do you get out? How do you not go through the haunt?
Fuck me, that's a good question.
Sorry, I just realized.
Oh my God, that's a good fucking question.
Because I've bought my ticket, I'm already at the
You're in the haunt. You're literally in the first room.
Yeah.
And, yeah, oh, God, you know, we actually mentioned okay, That should never be. You can have a rules room in the haunt. Going back to the previous episodes about the first room.
We're about to make a correction.
You can have it be the rules room, but that cannot be the first time they saw the damned rules.
Yeah.
How's that?
Fair enough.
That's the reinforcement of the rules.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch, that's a good question. All right. And also, special note while we're talking about rules, if you are cash only, A, don't be.
No.
We live in this time of Square, even the small... We accept Venmo donations.
Yeah.
Come on. Cash only, don't do that. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna be cash only, make sure it is absolutely everywhere, way before they get to the ticket booth.
Yeah, that before be the they first... get to your haunt.
Yeah, before they get to your haunt, it should be on every piece of marketing. But if they happen to miss it in the marketing, then it should definitely be the first thing they see when they arrive.
Yeah.
It should be your haunt name, cash only.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah.
That should be it. And you need to have an ATM on site. And not one of those ATMs that screws people out of tons of money. Make the ATM fee as low as you can.
Right.
Because you're the reason they can't use debit card. And also, don't be cash only. Just to repeat it. All right, number fifth thing we talking about, non-costumed employees.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a problem or a question or your signage is inadequate, and who the hell do I ask?
Yeah.
People will say, oh, just ask anyone in a costume. A, they don't want to break character.
Right.
And yeah. I'm not going to be the dickhead that makes them do it.
No, I'm not going to make anyone break character.
Don't make them break character, and also people aren't going to be comfortable approaching them anyway. Non-costumed employees that clearly work there for you are essential. They can direct traffic, they can answer questions, they can help solve small problems like lost glasses, or I guess lost glasses might be a fairly sizable problem, but items that were lost in a haunt, they're the ones with the radio, they can get in touch with people. They're there for that purpose.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at the number of haunts I go to, and I cannot find someone that's just a radio and a uniform walking around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the record, this does not include your duty police, your EMS that are on site, etc. No. They do not count. I am not asking your detail cop where the bathroom is.
No.
I'm sure he knows, he or she knows, but I'm not bothering them with that.
Yeah.
That's not why they're there. If I ask your detail cop where the bathroom is, things have gotten pretty bad on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I've done that before, and they pointed me to a restroom that was outside of the ticket area, and then I couldn't get back in.
Yeah, we've had that happen before. Yeah, I don't remember which haunt that was, but there was. Yeah, you mentioned you needed to use the restroom, and all of the restrooms they had were inside the area of the ticket where your tickets would be taken. After
they were outside of that.
I mean, inside of it is what I meant. You were outside, they were inside. You would have had to buy another ticket to go use the restroom.
No, I would have had to buy another ticket to get back to where you were playing the carnival games.
Oh, okay. So you would have had to come back. Okay, I get it now.
But they wouldn't let me back there. And I'm like, but I'm with the tour. I could see them right over there.
Yeah, where's the bathroom inside?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really big haunt that did that screw up.
Yeah, it was.
Whew. You know, I need to talk to them about that, actually.
Yeah.
We can actually do that on that one. I only call people out jokingly.
Mm-hmm.
I try to avoid the serious call outs here.
Yeah.
All right, number six, adequate security camera footage. This isn't something we've noticed as customers so much because I don't really pay attention to where the security cameras are.
Right.
And if you're doing your security cameras well, I couldn't see them anyway.
Yeah.
But dear God, the news stories we read.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
This is from Doing the News.
Doing the News, which is next week, by the way.
Oh.
We're at 187.
Okay.
Next is 188, divisible by 4. We're doing the news.
Okay.
Next week. But, yeah, we're doing that next week. But, yeah, we do the news, and it's like, well, the security cameras of the haunt missed the incident. Fucking how?
Yeah.
Just fucking how? I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm swearing more than usual on this.
I know.
And I we're at your work. And
exactly.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm being a terrible, terrible person. But how? How do you miss that?
Yeah.
If you have adequate security cameras, every inch of that haunt is covered at least once.
Yeah.
Ideally twice.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would be nice.
It would be nice. I would love to have two angles of every room. That's not practical for us with our budget and the fact we are, you know, free.
Yeah.
But pro haunts, given how cheap security cameras are, mm-hmm. there's no excuse. If we can cover every inch of our haunt and our queue line,
yeah,
you can too.
Yep.
Just do it. There's no excuse. Yeah, security cameras do cost money, but they are cheap compared to lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting tired of reading all these stories about haunts that didn't capture the incident.
Yeah.
Every inch, like I said, just cover every inch. And here's the thing. If proper security camera coverage in this environment is a win-win-win, you protect yourself, you protect your employees and your actors, mm-hmm. and you protect your customers.
Yeah.
Everyone wins because it discourages bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It stops it before it starts. When people realize that security cameras aren't covering X, Y, and Z, that's where they're going to go to do the bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you have anything covered, everything has to be covered.
Yeah, and this is not just customer area.
No,
this
God,
is also
no.
where your actors hang out.
Yes.
Because there have been a couple of news stories about assault there.
Yes. Cover your actor areas. Cover every inch of that haunt. I know
Except
you trust...
bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Which is why people are going to do bad things in the bathroom. But if you have adequate bathrooms, at least people will still be able to go pee, even when people are doing bad things in the bathroom. Just thinking. Just saying.
It all comes back to...
It all comes back to bathrooms and peeing in this episode.
Yes.
But no, I mean, God, it blows my mind how many haunts have these gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it just don't. There's no reason. We've talked about it 100 times before. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It worth repeating. And finally today, number 7, as we wrap up, just about on time, actually. So despite our aside into the wonderful world of bathrooms and and trash cans, we're going to wrap up about on time. Number 7, ways to capture customer information.
Yeah.
This, I don't think any haunt we've been to has done this adequately.
No.
Can you name one? I was trying to think of one. I was trying to give a good example here.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
I can't think of one. I can't think of a single haunt that does this right.
Mm-mm.
Or at all.
No.
Okay, here's the thing. Customers come, they buy a ticket, they go to your haunt, and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That is like having a date with an amazing person and then not getting their phone number at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reach them later? What did they think of you? How do they feel it went?
Mm-hmm.
How can you, get that second date? How do you get them to come back next year? Obviously, putting on a good show is important, but staying in contact is also crucial. Have comment cards. Have ways that people can express what they saw and how they feel and can leave you their contact information. May obviously get permission.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do an episode about capturing customer data and how you should deal with it, because, you know, there's a lot of laws there, and I actually do deal with them in my day job. I run an email newsletter list. I have been with companies that do text message blasting and so forth. I have insight into this area.
Okay, we should do this.
We should do this episode, maybe. But get permission, do it right, do it legally. But long and short of it is make sure to capture that information. I mean, we tell people, hey, follow us on social media. Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be really neat if you could contact them directly?
Yeah.
Legally, with their permission? Just saying, that sounds pretty cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and here's one of the other things that's a trick that you see a lot of businesses do. If you show interest in what your customers think, if you ask them,
mm-hmm.
get up to and ask them directly, they will think more highly of you. They will give you better reviews.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing, and I'm not 100% sure why, but it's one of the reasons why if you're at a restaurant and the manager's going around to all the tables that don't have problems and going, is everything okay? Did you enjoy everything? Was all the food good? I'm like, I'm trying to eat, Dave. Please leave me alone, Dave. This is getting a little out of hand. Okay, maybe we should stop eating at Jason's Deli so much. But the point is that one of the reasons they do that is because it actually induces better responses.
Yeah.
It lets the customers know you care about their experience.
Well, and lots of the times, in New Orleans at least, the chef will come out and make the rounds too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Which is very, very nice. It's one of the reasons managers and chefs will do that at restaurants.
Yeah.
We need to be better about doing that with customers. Now, it's not practical if you run a large haunt to ask every single customer leaving, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think?
What do you think of the little kiosk things of yes, no,
great,
and put in an email?
Great. Beautiful. Do it. Add them.
Yeah.
If you want the budget version, get a box with a tiny little adorable lock, and you do comment cards.
Yeah.
Please tell us your thoughts. Have a little comment card, a little index card, say, ask two questions, rate us on this, blah, 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 were you scared? How many were in your group? What's your age? And then email or phone number, and may we contact you?
Yeah, I think digital's going to be
digital's
more,
better,
more
but
preferred.
Hey, if you're on a budget, if you can't,
yeah.
We couldn't do the digital kiosk.
So do I need to build a comment card box now instead
maybe,
of what I'm hearing?
Might not be a bad idea. But yeah, comment cards can be great. Mm-hmm. Digital kiosks are obviously better. They're more efficient.
Yeah.
But just ways to capture customer information so that way you, A, get their feedback,
mm-hmm.
and you get real-time, genuine feedback, or near real-time, feedback on how you're doing, combined with capturing customer information. It's a win-win, and I don't see haunts doing this. You see every other business on the planet doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Join our reward program.
Yeah.
Give us your phone number. We'll join the Winn-Dixie reward program or whatever. Join the Rouse's.
I would love if haunts got together and did a reward program.
Well, they did. The one local ones did. Remember the Haunted House VIP thing?
Yeah.
So the local ones.
That was cool.
That was very cool. But it'd be cooler if it actually tracked our information rather than just giving us a punch card.
Yeah. It would.
I don't see how that one really benefited the haunts other than encouraging people to check out more haunts.
I want to be able to say I'm a preferred customer at haunts.
Yes. I think we've earned preferred customer status at a lot of these haunts. I know we damn well spend enough money.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm just saying, but no, this is a great way to stay in touch and keep that connection so that way when September rolls around, you're not just starting new with these guys.
Right.
You have some kind of regular means.
Yeah.
Something to think about, something to try to incorporate into your haunt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about all I had. And that's a bald-faced lie. We had a lot more that we noticed.
That's all we have right now.
That's all we have for this episode. Basically, it's all we have time for. We're at 50-plus minutes now.
Yeah.
We're in the window to close things down. We try to shoot between
then
50.
Then we should do that.
We should. I should stop babbling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, everyone... Oh, boy, this podcast did not leave the rails. It never had rails.
Yeah.
But on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us for this past near hour. Greatly appreciate you spending it with us. This has been episode 187 of Haunt Weekly, talking about seven simple things haunts forget. There we go. I got through it. Told you I could. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week. I forgot to do social media stuff.
You did.
I got so wrapped up. We're Haunt Weekly at Twitter. We're Haunt Weekly at Facebook. We're at hauntweekly.com. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. And you can find us on Google iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are sold and distributed. Blah, 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 blah. You know the drill.
Mm-hmm.
So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And now we can actually end it. And we will see you guys next week when it's episode 188 and we're doing
the news.
See you guys then. Have a great week.